Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley back with you here on the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio as we head into Palm Sunday weekend. We are heading into Holy Week, and that's an exciting time in the Church for so many reasons. Of course, most importantly, we walk with the Lord into His triumphal entry into Jerusalem through His days in Jerusalem leading up to, of course, His Passover meal with the disciples, His journeying into the Garden of Gethsemane and praying that the cup might pass from Him. His betrayal, His arrest, His condemnation, His scourging, His death, His being laid in the tomb, and of course, we know what comes at the end of that, thanks be to God, the resurrection of our Lord, and the promise of new life that that brings to each and every one of us, dying for our sins and rising to new life that we might share in that. And that, of course, is the focus of Holy Week, and that is what we want to keep our minds upon as we enter into this most sacred time of the year, and as we see our Lord alive and at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Another reason it's so fundamentally important in the Church is that this is the time of year when, well, it used to be that all baptisms took place at Easter, and most specifically now the Church has continued that tradition in that many, many baptisms of adults, anyway, happen at Easter. And I do hope if you've never been to an Easter vigil, if you're listening to the show right now, I want to encourage you and you've never been to an Easter vigil wherein those baptisms and those reception of candidates, those who have been validly baptized in another tradition but are entering into the Church, into full communion with the Church and being confirmed and receiving their first Eucharist as well. If you've never experienced that, if you've never seen that, especially if you're a cradle Catholic, may I encourage you to go, because there's something that just ignites the faith when you see these people who are, by their own volition, their own free will, they are giving themselves over to the Lord in and through His Holy Catholic Church. There's something that's so impressive about that and inspiring about that, and to see that people are doing that, it just paves the way for the Holy Spirit to be at work throughout the congregation. In fact, I will say this, having gone through RCA myself, I think many of you know, if you're regular listeners, that I myself am a convert to Catholicism from Protestantism, and having gone through it myself and then attending the Easter Vigil each and every year after that, it's really been quite a touching thing for me right when all the confirmations are done, and at least the way we do it at the cathedral, and I think this is pretty common, is that you have before you then all the newly baptized, all the newly received into full communion with the Church, and usually their sponsors up in front, and there's just this welcome that we're all encouraged to do by a round of applause for all these people who have made this choice and now have come into full communion with the Church. And I'm getting goosebumps just right now just thinking about it, but it's so inspiring and so touching. That is one of my absolute favorite times of the year, just because I can sense the Holy Spirit, and there's the people who have just received their sacraments are glowing. They're absolutely glowing. You can actually see it. Don't believe me. Again, go to an Easter vigil. And so it's an important time of the year for that as well. And it's obviously directly linked to the life of Jesus, and which is foundationally important and why we celebrate Holy Week to begin with. And you know, there's a lot of people involved in that trek that these adults are making in their journey to full communion with the Holy Catholic Church. There's RCA directors and catechists. There's sponsors. Absolutely, there's people who see to the hospitality and the welcome of people who are involved in RCA programs. And my encouragement to you too, if you are a person of prayer, and I'm presuming many of you are who are listening, pray for those people as well as for those who are about to receive their sacraments. This is a very important time of the year, and it happens that the enemy tends to turn up the heat this time of year as well. there tends to be more challenges. There tend to be more obstacles. There tend to be more impediments. There tend to be more temptations in this time of year to try to draw people's attention away from the significance of what's going on. So may I ask you to please pray for those who are going through RCIA. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the show. We're going to be talking about the rite of Christian initiation of adults. We've got a number of guests with us in studio who are going to be talking about their experience, about going through RCIA, about being involved in RCIA, and about what it means at the parish level to be involved in for RCIA at the parish level. So that's what's in store for us. I hope you'll stick with us as we go into that. But as always, we're going to pause. We're going to take a moment and commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you can stick with us for this hour. We've got some great stories coming up of people who are going through RCIA. We're going to see how the Lord is at work in their lives. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
If guys in the audience could do one thing in terms of their faith journey to be better husbands, better friends, better fathers, whatever that might be, the answer from you is always...
Go to confession.
I knew that. There's such power in this sacrament.
Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. It literally is that state of grace, Chuck. It's that armor.
As Pope Francis asked, when was the last time you went to confession? He said, but our sins are not just against God. They're also against our brothers and sisters and against the church. He said, but some of you will say, but Father, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. But he said, no, a little shame is good. And what that tells you is that your conscience is working. And he said, it's good to have a little shame because that way we can correct ourselves.
Clear Catholic teaching.
Sacramento della Reconciliazione.
This is Relevant Radio.
Back with the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Thank you for joining us as we're talking about the rite of Christian initiation of adults, which is the way in which adults come into full communion with the Catholic Church, whether they've never been baptized or whether they've been baptized validly under a Protestant tradition and are now seeking full communion with the Church. And it's a wonderful program. And actually, for those of you who don't know, in fact, I resist that word program when I'm talking about RCIA, because it really is a series of rites that lead into full communion with the Catholic Church. And it's based on some of the very same practices that happened in the very earliest centuries. That's one of that ever ancient, ever new things about the Catholic faith, is that it's based on those ways that people used to come into the church back in, you know, the first couple hundred years right after the earthly life of our Lord. So there's something that's very enticing about that as well, at least there was for me. Joining me now in studio, I'm pleased to welcome Abby Satter and Bryant Ortega, who are an engaged couple, and they will be married actually in just a couple short weeks. So, they've got a lot of sacraments coming up. Well, Abby does anyway. Abby is going through RCIA. Bryant is a cradle Catholic. Abby is a dance instructor at Arthur Murray Dance Studio in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Bryant is a business development representative at Info. No? At where?
In four.
Okay.
Like information without the mation.
Oh, in four. Okay. I didn't quite get the R on there. All right. Very good. Well, welcome. And it's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I wanted to just unpack a little bit of your experience. Congratulations, by the way, that you're only 2 weeks out from marriage. And you're going to be getting a number of sacraments, as I said, right? Isn't that right, Abby?
Yes. I'm definitely excited for both of them. And it's going to be a whirlwind, I believe.
And you were telling me just before we got the show rolling that that you actually thought ahead. Thank you so much for thinking ahead. And you did all your wedding planning. So all the logistics of getting the wedding and everything in order. So you finished that. So now you've got this time to focus in on Easter. Is that right?
Yeah. We really made sure that when we were planning out what we wanted to get done with the wedding, and we knew that coming into the church was going to be right beforehand, which we were excited about, but we knew that that was something that we wanted to make sure that we were prepared enough ahead of time so that I could really focus on this time, this Lent season, so that I wouldn't be overwhelmed and thinking about other things and not be focused mainly on that, which was the most important thing at hand during Lent.
Amen. No question about it. And I think even giving that amount of forethought to what's going to be happening, what's going on in your life at that time, and what's significant, unveils a little bit about the importance of and how you view the importance of what's going to happen at Easter, God willing. Let me back up a little bit in your relationship, though. I want to ask you this. So, Abby, what did you think when you found yourself actually kind of getting romantically interested in a Catholic? What did that mean? Actually, I should ask you first, tradition did you come? Did you come from a Christian tradition before that?
Yeah, I was raised Lutheran my whole life.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So now the question, what did you think when you were starting to like a Catholic?
Sure. I don't think that it really struck me as anything too crazy or out there, or I didn't really know what to expect, I think. I think, though, it was very telling, though, on our first date for me, what I was getting myself into by the fact that when we were together on this first date, one of our first conversations had to do with Mary.
Oh, okay. All right.
And there's even a napkin with a diagram involved.
there are many questions about how many Marys are there?
Yeah. Well, right. Our Lady. I had that question at one point. Sure. Okay. Yep. All right.
So I think I knew that I was going to be getting into something deeper than I ever would have thought, right away on that first date. But but it didn't scare me, and I was more intrigued by the information and by everything that we were talking about. So I was kind of excited and willing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's I appreciate that attitude, but and Brian, I got to say, I'm impressed that you were at the ready, right, to answer these questions and that sort of thing when you were getting. Well, let me put it another way: how did you feel when you started getting romantically interested in a non-Catholic?
Well, how should I put this? let's say back in high school, I was that Catholic guy that all my friends were dating non-Catholics. So I was like, why would you do that? Mm. Like, that's just not what you do. Like, why would you set yourself all these obstacles and just go to someone that's Catholic, make things easier, and then there's going to be all these other differences that you have to work through. But then Abby came along, and the Lord
altered
had
your opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely did. The Lord had a different plan for us, and it was just one of those things where she was solid and she was great, and I wanted to get to know her on a deeper level. And then so when that question came up on our first dates about Mary, I remember thinking in my mind, well, it's either all or nothing. Like, she's either take me for who I am as not just as a fun guy, a dancer, but actually for my true core, which is my faith, which is Mary. Mary's a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, here it goes.
Yeah.
And then I explained it. And then afterwards, we went on a second date. And so I figured, oh, well, if that didn't scare her away, then we should be good.
Yeah. Mary is oftentimes a touchstone issue with people who are considering
the faith. Expecting that to be date number five, maybe, in Mary talk. But
you had it mapped out in your head, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Now, just out of curiosity, did you two know of each other's different faiths going into before you had your first date, or was it something that came up? Did you just say, "Oh, by the way, I'm a Catholic," or did you? I can picture it now. You're got the first date jitters and everything. You're sitting down to your first meal together, and Bryant pulls out the "In the name of the Father and of the Son." What is going on? No, how did you know about that before you had your first date?
I definitely knew that he was Catholic. Okay. Even though, we were just coworkers, he did talk about it, and it somehow, would come up, and so I did know.
Okay, very good. And Brian, you knew that she was not a Catholic, obviously, you said?
Correct, yeah. I didn't really know what her faith background was. I kind of kept work pretty, professional. I didn't really, the only times that faith would come up is if it actually came up, or we'd go on conferences, and I'd make sure to go to Mass on Sunday, because it was a weekend conference, and nobody went to church, and I was missing for 3 hours, and my supervisor got upset with me, like, why were you out? Mm-hmm. Like, you slept late, or you went out and you partied too long, or whatever it was. I was like, no, I went to 6 a.m. Mass because I had to go. Like, I wanted to go.
Right.
And then they stopped getting upset with me.
Well, that's
good. I wasn't ready, and I was going to Mass.
Very good. Very good. I love that. So how or when did you decide, Abby, that, I think I'd like to do RCIA? I'd like to be involved in the process to come into the church.
It was honestly, it was more of like a gradual coming into the realization. It was something that, again, like it just kept coming up in our conversations when we would be together, when we would, you know, be on dates or just having daily conversations. And Bryant actually kind of initiated, hey, you know, you're asking me a lot of questions and I know a lot of the answers, but I feel like I'm not maybe doing them the amount of justice that they could be done. And so he suggested that if I was open to it, we meet with one of the priests at the parish that we started attending together that he was a member of.
And this is the parish of St. Mark's.
Yeah. And so he suggested, he was like, you know, if you're okay with it, would you ever want to start meeting like with Father Alvaro and see if he would just meet with you and answer any questions you have? Because he thought, you know, it might be good for me, but also he's like, some of these answers I don't really know the answer to.
Sure.
And it would be helpful for me to even know why we do certain things or what's the, you know, reason behind these different things of the Catholic Church. So he recommended it and I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
So we started doing that casually. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until, you know, months, I think, later that it kind of came up. And again, like, it was not like a huge deal. It was just like, what do you think? Like, what do you think about your faith at this point? And I think by that point, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but it was kind of getting close to Easter when that was happening. And I was kind of past the point of being a part of fully like RCIA, the program. And like, because I knew it started in the fall and I'd kind of missed all of that. And I wanted to be able to like fully take part in that.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me felt like, you know what? I feel like I'm understanding more and I'm really like growing in my faith and like really beginning to love the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be able to make sure that I was like for certain and not rush into anything.
Yep.
And I really had this amazing moment at a wedding of a friend's where I went up for receiving my blessing during communion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the priests said to me, I'm glad that you're here.
Wow.
And I've never, ever since then and before then had a priest say anything other than, you know, God bless you.
Yeah.
But to have, you know, the priest say that to me, it honestly just felt like I had this moment of like the Holy Spirit came over me and I felt like so at peace. And where I was meant to be, where I was at that moment for him to say that to me because I needed to hear that.
Clearly, I think that's one of the ways that our Lord was, as he does, speaking through his priest, right? Through his priest. And our Lord was saying to you, I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah, it was, definitely.
Yeah.
And I just felt that right away. And I just felt like I know that I'm meant to do this, whether it's now or whether I take some more time and just learn more and become more certain in my faith and in my decision. I knew at that moment, I think, that it was for me.
Right. Yeah, wonderful. Brian, how are you feeling as Abby was getting closer and closer to the church and to her faith was growing? What kind of an effect did this have on you?
Oh my gosh, huge effect.
Yeah.
I maybe didn't show it because I wanted to make sure she was doing it for the right reasons, not just for me.
Right.
But because there was a time where months before she had this, like I brought up the question, she was going to holy hour with me every week. Like she reminded me of, I had holy hour after work was like 11 p.m. And I remember one night I was working late and I was like, hey, don't you have to like go to church or something? Like go to your holy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, it's in about half an hour. And she's like, it's in 10 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to go. So I like packed up and she locked up the studio for me. And then I went to holy hour. And I remember one night I was like, hey, do you want to join me? Like, would you like to come?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, sure. And then it just was kind of a, every week we just went together. And then it switched to a morning holy hour, and then we went together. And then I got a new job, and I stopped going, and I asked, and I'd be like, are you going to keep going?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, can I keep going? And I was like, well, yeah. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
So as this whole process just kept going and going, and I think there's a maybe late in that fall, it was kind of eating me up inside. Like, what is she thinking? Like, mm-hmm. does she want to be Catholic? Does she not?
Mm-hmm.
Is she excited? She's doing this because we're doing this together. And then I remember she's praying about it like for a solid week. I probably prayed a novena, and mm-hmm. she asked her casually, and it was so hard for me because I was like, so, like, what are you thinking? Like, what's going on? Like, is this something you are considering or not? And then she was like, yeah, I'd be open.
Wow.
And I was like, whew, all right. She's open. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's right. kind of the baby steps of approaching the situation very calmly.
Yeah.
Because I can get very excited yeah. sometimes. So.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's actually, you make a very good point about, and you said this too, Abby, that for many people, I think it's a gradual process. Whether you're, you know, you were devoutly into your Christian faith as a Protestant, or even those who, you know, really hadn't had very much of a Christian exposure or anywhere in between, many times, not every time, but many times it's a gradual process into relationship with the church. I remember reflecting on my own journey, although I would say that I met and started following the Lord at a very, very young age, my process into the church was much more entangled and circuitous than my relationship with the Lord, which just seemed to kind of organically sprout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to underscore that for those of you who may be in Bryant's shoes of saying, okay, I know somebody, but it just seems like, why don't they just get it? Why don't they just, you know, jump in? Why don't they just do it now?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, you got to allow some time for the Holy Spirit to move, to work, and for our wills to be changed, right? That's true for all of us. So, Abby, let me ask you this, since Bryant kind of started hinting at it anyway. Now, speaking as an RCIA director, I'm going to put my other hat on for mm-hmm. a second. When a couple comes in and one of them's interested in RCIA and say, yep, we're engaged, we want to be married, and we want to be married in the Catholic Church, and I'm willing, sometimes that's what they say, I'm wanting to go through RCIA so we can get married in the church and have a mass and everything. I'll be honest, in the back of my head is going, okay, are you really doing this for yourself and for your own relationship with the Lord, or are you doing this because you want to get married and you have in mind, you know, this picturesque wedding and this beautiful church and that sort of thing? So my question to you, Abby, I'm putting the screws to you here a little bit, but how do you know that you're doing this for yourself, and what kind of maybe precautions or things that are you putting in your own life of faith to make sure that this is something that you personally are doing for you?
Yeah. Well, definitely number one up there is prayer.
Yeah.
I know that for me, being, you know, in adoration, but just in my prayer life in general, Bryant made a good point when we started dating and just like talking about different things and about discerning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really been introduced to what that meant. And so once I learned, you know, what discernment was and how important it was before just rushing into anything.
Right.
I feel like being sure that that you're making a lot of time for prayer and time to discern for sure in, you know, the privacy by yourself and not letting other people's opinions or the pressure that you think that they may be putting on you overtake that power of prayer and what you feel like that conversation you're having with the Lord
right.
Is telling you. And so that for sure is the most important thing, I think, is to pray about it.
Yeah.
And not just once, but keep praying about it mm-hmm. and keep discerning it. And then to make sure that you aren't rushing into it and that if you're not ready, it's okay.
Yeah.
If you're not ready this time, you know, give it some more time. Yeah. And although I feel like there are things like, I think recently Father Alro said that you may sometimes never feel ready because you're never going to know the answer to everything. And that is okay. Like that is part of the mystery of the faith.
That's a great point.
And so that shouldn't hold you back because you don't know everything, but yet it shouldn't be that, you know, I need to know everything. And if I don't, I can't join either.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you allow just the working of the Holy Spirit to be in your life and to make sure that you're ready for the lifestyle change. Mm. Because that's the other thing I didn't think about, or I didn't realize, like, the Catholic Church is a lifestyle. Like, the faith in itself is a lifestyle. Absolutely. It's not just a
Sunday morning.
It's not a hobby that we do on the weekends.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle that you have to be okay with and you have to say yes to.
Wow.
You know, just like Mary said yes, we have to be willing to say yes to what the church calls us to do. Wow. Because every decision that I make or that we make as a couple is going to be founded by our faith and by the church and the church's teachings. And that is the most important thing, that we have to be open and willing to say yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's completely different than anything else or than how you live your life before.
Right.
Which is amazing and which I'm still learning every day and is one of the most beautiful things about the church that I love.
Mm. Bryant, I got to say, you got a keeper here.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Thanks be to God. What a great way of saying it, that it is. And in fact, I'm now invite you in for my first RCA of next year. You can give your testimony. It's more than just a hobby. It's much more than just a hobby. It is giving over your life. The phrase I like to use, perhaps I've even said it on the show before, but the grace, the mercy, the peace, the forgiveness of Christ is the only free gift that'll cost you everything. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he asks of us, right? To take up our cross, to give over ourselves, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, all this sort of thing. And I think you encapsulated that well. I'm speaking with Bryant Ortega and Abby Satter, who are an engaged couple to be married here in a couple weeks. But Abby is going through RCIA, about to come into full communion with the church and make her first sacraments, be fully initiated in the church. And Bryant, a cradle Catholic, let me ask you, Bryant, to expound a little bit more upon what you started, the road you started down. And what is your role as in terms of supporting Abby's journey of faith and making sure it's Abby's journey of faith?
Mm. It takes a lot of conscious effort, I would say, just because my background talking about the faith, I love talking about the faith with other people, and wanting Abby to really find the truth, I have to really put myself back.
Mm.
I'm so used to being like, oh, let's talk about this, let's talk about that, and how's the Lord changing your life, and how's your prayer doing that? I realized a lot of those discussions would be good for us later down the line.
Okay.
And since we're preparing for marriage, it wouldn't be the best idea if I was the one that was always initiating kind of like these fellowship questions.
Yeah.
So I remember asking one of our good friends, Shannon, I'm like, hey, Shannon, could you just like ask Abby like, how she's doing? Like, what is she thinking?
Like maybe pass her a note before study hall.
Pretty much. I knew there was that fine line of me being that spiritual leader and like help guiding us to the faith, but also there's just some things Abby needs to figure out for herself.
Absolutely.
And to know that it is something that she wants to do for her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point when we were planning our wedding where we're going to either do a spring wedding or a fall wedding. And then it would have been last fall. And I was like, well, we could have it in the fall. That's fine. Like we'll have maybe like a ceremony and maybe just a communion service. And she's like, I'm like, because it's time of the year, it might be a perfect wedding.
Right.
I'm like, okay, wait for the spring. It's up to you. And she told me, she's like, I want in the spring. I'm like, well, why not? You just first said the fall. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And then she mentioned, because I want to be fully in communion with the church.
Wow.
So I want to be able to take the Eucharist with you, with us, and start our marriage off that way.
Yeah.
And I remember trying not to be too excited in front of her, but I was like, all right, that sounds like a good idea. Sure, we'll shoot for a spring wedding.
And but, inside you're like turning cartwheels.
Oh my gosh, I was so ecstatic. I was like, this is one of the best days ever.
Yeah.
Like so there's been a lot of those moments where Abby will say something that gets me very excited.
Yeah.
But I there's like a fear of making sure that she wasn't doing this for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Because I've heard so many stories. And I'm like, oh, the last thing I want is if something were to go south, she were to hate the Catholic Church because of me.
Right.
And I couldn't live with that. So we decided on a spring wedding because she wanted to really take the next step.
Yeah.
And so I strategically, the Holy Spirit maybe did it.
Yeah.
Well, he for sure did it. Put these people in our lives and these close friends and the brothers and sisters at St. Mark's to really be that strong witness for Abby,
mm-hmm,
and give her that support that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Wow. We need much, much more time. I did want to pull out one more thing, though, before we have to say goodbye to you. Abby, you said you had brought up that you actually aren't aren't necessarily doing the traditional, as it were, RCA program that St. Mark's offers, but you're doing, you said already that you were meeting with Father Alvaro there, and then you've met with some other people, and but you have attended maybe a couple of the RCA sessions, things like that. Talk a little bit about how that came about and what that experience has been like for you.
Yeah, one of the biggest concerns I had with like being able to be part of RCIA was the schedule, because I knew it was usually during the week in the evening, and I teach ballroom dancing during mm-hmm. that time mm-hmm. every single day during the week. So I knew that that schedule wasn't really going to work, and so I wanted to make sure like I was able to still take part in all the things that they were doing, even though I couldn't be present with them every week.
Sure.
So the nice thing that we were able to do was have a conversation with Father Alvaro and talk to them about what could we do to make it work so that I could still go through all of this and feel like I was a part of it
mm-hmm.
Through the whole journey of RCIA. So they were able to set up, which was awesome, being able to set up times to meet with me personally, one-on-one with him. And then I've been, like you said, meeting with some of the sisters also
okay. yep.
that are part of St. Mark's, and having our own personal one-on-one time going over the, you know, different things, the different sacraments, the different questions that I may have about, you know, other parts of the church that I have never learned about. And
right.
so they've, made a really good point of being able to make it work for me and my schedule
mm-hmm.
since it's not the typical schedule, so that I can be able to be a part of all of that. And
right.
that has been very helpful, because I know that was a little discouraging, I think, at first. And I know there has to be other people out there that have
right.
unconventional schedules with,
right.
with work or whatever.
Right. And I, you know, we were talking a bit again before the show, and again, speaking as an RCIA director, I want to make a couple of things abundantly clear in case our listeners are thinking of somebody, or if they themselves are somebody who would like to be involved in RCIA, but know that their schedules aren't conducive to that. Your situation, we definitely, we want to make an exception, not the rule, because there's great value, and I try to stress this with people coming into RCA, investigating RCA at the cathedral, is that there's great value in doing it as a community, doing it together and walking this journey of RCIA together. God has given us a community for a reason, right? And it's best that we start leaning on one another from the very outset. At the same time, I would also say we will always seek to find the way that the Lord is leading people. And, if you have a legitimate excuse, not like, what do we say, bowling league,
yeah.
bowling league on Tuesday nights, but if you have a legitimate work or family related excuse for not being able to come at that point, at that time when RCIA meets, then I think it's absolutely true. I mean, that's not going to say, okay, well, I guess the Lord doesn't want you to be Catholic then. No, absolutely not. You know, we want to be open to how the Lord is leading, and we want to facilitate that growth and relationship, and then entering into full communion with the church in whatever way we can. And so just as a word to our listeners, as they're thinking about somebody who may be interested in RCIA but has an unconventional schedule, I think you're a good poster child for that, as well as for RCIA in general. Yeah. I'm afraid we have to say goodbye to you. We're turning the page here and entering into our next break here very shortly. But I want to thank you both for being on the show today, and also for sharing your experiences as you're walking, Abby, the path to full communion with the church, and Brian, as you're walking right alongside her in that. And then I just want to wish you all the best with all the sacraments at Easter, and then the sacrament of matrimony to come but one short week later. Sounds like it'll be a fantastic and wondrous time in your life, and may the Lord be very present to you in all of that. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So as Abby and Brian say goodbye to us, we're going to come back with Father Neil Baker from Our Lady of Grace in Edina, who's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on at RCIA in that parish. So stay with us.
I'm Steve Smith with Modern Roadways. We've fixed, replaced, and seal-coated driveways and parking lots for Relevant Radio listeners for years. Along with my dad, Ed, and our friendly crew, we continue to have our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Our blacktop patching can save your driveway or parking lot. We do what's called skin patching. First, we clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new will hold to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability. Skidden patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so we can cover 3 times as much area for the same cost, getting all present potholes as well as areas that will be potholes in the next few months. Now the rest of the story. We offer a $100 discount to Relevant Radio listeners who give us the go-ahead on repair projects of $1,000 or more. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
I think of Paul and Silas in the prison yard. I hear their song of freedom rising to the stars and when I say...
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you as we're speaking about the rite of Christian initiation of adults, as we are just one short week away from the Easter Triduum, when many of these adults who are going through RCIA programs across the Archdiocese and indeed across the country and indeed throughout the world who are going to be coming into full communion with the Church. And I think it's especially exciting for those who are preparing for baptism and receiving all three of their sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and First Communion at that Easter Vigil coming up. Not to diminish the importance it is for the candidates as well. I myself was a candidate, so it was one of the most significant experiences of my life coming into full communion with the Church. But those who are undergoing baptism, I think it's a wonderful and it's a wondrous time of it's preparing for a wedding. It's your wedding to the Lord. And I think it's a wonderful sacrament. It's a wonderful time of preparation. And I hope that all those who are preparing for the sacrament of baptism are feeling that great excitement and anticipation of the sacraments to come. Joining me now in studio is Father Neil Baker, who serves as the parochial vicar at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. And, Father Neil enjoys creative things like cooking, photography, playing guitar, reading, and movies, as well as various outdoor activities like biking, hunting, and fishing. Wow, do you have any time to be a priest in all that time, Father?
I try to work them all in, you know? Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for being on the show this morning, Father.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Yeah, so update us a little bit about what's going on in terms of the RCIA program, specifically at Our Lady of Grace.
Yeah, we have a great program at Our Lady of Grace, and I think thanks in part to the former parochial vicar from last year, Father Mark Paviglio, did a great job. and left it in a good place and handed it over in a good way. And so we have eight adults this year, elect now or candidates. And two children.
Yeah.
The theme for this year really we're finding is spouses.
Okay.
Because of the number of marriages that we have at OLG.
Mm-hmm.
We have 37 on the books for the rest of this year.
What?
And we're booked. I think we're booked out through the end of January 2018. We have every Friday and Saturday booked out. Every possible Friday and Saturday. So, some people in RCA are married already. Mm-hmm. Some about to be married. And you know, it's just been really inspiring to see them grow together in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To see them grow as individuals. Mm-hmm. To see them grow together in their prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been incredible.
And, you know, if I can jump in there just for a second, that does bring up an important point. As we just were speaking with Bryant and Abby there and their pending nuptials here. But we also receive a fair amount of folks in RCIA programs across the country from, just like you were saying, that people who have already been married for sometimes a number of years, mm-hmm. a Catholic and a non-Catholic together. And the non-Catholic is saying, you know what? I want in. I want to be part of that. And that's, I mean... You know, I would never say that that's not the Lord at work, obviously.
Absolutely.
Who's to fault the Lord for any kind of leadership like that in a marriage? I have many mm-hmm. friends who are in that situation as well, who have come into the Church because they married a Catholic and said, yeah, I want to be part of that. So that's you're saying that's part of what you're seeing there at Our Lady of Grace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit of everything.
Yeah, yep. Very good. So what else have you got going on with RCIA there?
I've heard some of our... of our people say, this place feels like home. This group feels like home. Not only our parish, but But this group of our CIA, it really is. And I think that that's a common experience for people, is they begin for it to feel like a home experience.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have a lot of young adults at OLG, and it's a very personal program.
Yeah.
We have a parish mentor that's assigned to each person, and then we have a sponsor. And so the parish mentor is different than the sponsor. They can pick a sponsor, and it can be the same person if they want, but they can pick a sponsor, and then we assign a mentor on the parish side, and the parish mentor is really a person that walks with them.
Yeah. Interesting. So they can choose a sponsor, but you mm-hmm. assign a mentor. I like that.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard of that before. I like mm-hmm. it. I like it. I can see a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah.
And so as you actually led for a combined thing with the Cathedral and Our Lady of Grace, a reconciliation retreat just a couple weeks ago.
That's true.
And in which we were... their candidates were making their first confessions. So
mm-hmm.
As people, if you haven't been through it, if they're not familiar with the RCI program or you haven't been through it yourselves, those of you who are validly baptized, those who are validly baptized in a Protestant tradition as they're coming into full communion with the church, well, they need to make a first confession, which, speaking in my own case, was 38 years of looking back over my life and going to the confessional.
How long did that take?
I kept telling my wife and others who were, I'll just take up, I'll go last because it'll be the rest of the day, right? But I want to thank you on air for leading that. And
it was a wonderful time.
Yeah. But speak a little bit about what it's like to be a priest and as you're addressing those who are mm-hmm. Going through RCIA, is there any particular reaction that you have? What inspires you about being involved in the lives of those who are going through RCIA?
It's tremendously humbling. I led it actually last year as well as a deacon.
Right.
And it was just very humbling to be there with them, and to talk about, not only the reality of what it is, of what sin is, but then the tremendous reality of mercy,
right?
And our Lord's mercy, and the greatest act that our Lord does is to be merciful with us, and to really try to flesh that out mm-hmm. and to tell the story. And I use the prodigal son to tell the story of what it means, and talk about the different actors in that story. And then ultimately the Father and the tenderness of the Father, and that we're all being called into that tenderness
right.
and that experience of it, so that, so that the fear is not there mm-hmm. as you enter into that experience.
Still a little bit nervous.
Right, right. I don't think you ever really get rid of it completely.
No,
but,
probably not.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I think now it's time to do the big reveal here as well. Those of you who might be listening who may not know Father Neil and his own story, Father Neil himself is a convert to the Catholic faith
and went
through RCIA. How long ago was it now?
2008, I came into the church, so 9 years ago.
Wow, 9 years ago. And I explicitly mm-hmm. wanted to have you on the show, Father, because just to tell those who go through RCIA, you never know where the Lord might lead. Right.
So tell us. I remember going through my first confession.
Yeah.
And how
exactly.
Very frightened I was. And it didn't matter how many people told me.
Right.
It's, you have nothing to be afraid of. And with the priest, you tell the priest nothing, they can never tell anybody.
Right.
It didn't matter. I was scared out of my mind.
Right. But you made it. You survived.
Of course. Yeah.
No, it's very good. So tell us about how did the whole Catholic idea come about for you?
It was it just like Abby, it was a slow journey.
Yeah.
It was step by step.
Yeah.
I remember I met with Mark Crotu, who was mm-hmm. Your predecessor at the
Mark,
cathedral.
Yep.
And I climbed the steps at the cathedral rectory and the office there. And it was literally step by step, climbing those steps, going
You felt into, every one of them.
I felt every one of them, the burden, the weight.
Yes.
No, it wasn't that bad. And it was just step by step. I just always knew that the Lord, I could go one more step with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
And he would give me the grace to go one more step,
mm-hmm.
one step further, one step closer to him. And I think it's always a disposition of heart. I think our world always right now proposes and promotes and encourages maybe a spirit of skepticism.
Yeah.
And I didn't at the time, I guess I didn't know this. Looking back, having that force that sight now, I didn't have that spirit of skepticism and closed-mindedness. Mm. And so I had an open heart, and so I was able to receive. I had a critical thinking, so yep. It didn't mean I didn't just take everything on. I believed because of the attestation and the what another person said, that somebody else had given the word from someone else, but then I still had to think it through,
right.
And I still had to maybe do a little investigation myself and
absolutely.
Do a little more reading and thinking.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it oftentimes takes.
I think that's right. And I appreciate you bringing that up, that I was just giving a little bit of my own conversion story the other day. And I said that I became intellectually convinced before the heart piece came into place. And somebody asked me, so is that always the case? And I said, no, I don't think so. I think for some people, it goes the other way around. Mm-hmm. Like there's a heart piece first, and then it's followed by investigation and yeah. saying, okay, I'm not just going to take this blindly.
Right.
And there is, obviously, if our Lord is, as he says he is, the truth,
mm-hmm.
then we don't need to be afraid of actually investigating and saying, okay, why is this the case? And that's what I think.
I had wonderful, wonderful formators there at the cathedral when I was going through, Father Joseph Johnson and Father John Paul Erickson and the then Father Andrew Cousins.
Yes, right, then Father, right.
Yeah, Father Peter Laird and Bishop Pates. And
yeah, okay.
So I was pretty well doomed that I was going to seminary.
Yeah, that's right.
And again, that was another a point of just taking one step at a time.
Right.
Just going one step I have enough courage to say, I think that when I entered the seminary, I said, I don't have enough courage to say no to the Lord.
Oh, you know? I like that.
I can't say no. I can only say yes to the next step, and we'll keep going until he says, get out of here. Beat it.
So. I think he's more probably apt to say, well done, good and faithful servant, and enter into the kingdom. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more, just in case there might be some young men who are new to the church or will soon be new to the church. Tell us a little bit more about your own experience and how the Lord took you from brand new Catholic to the seminary. I mean, what were some of the key moments in that transition?
Yeah, it was certainly a life of devotion to the sacraments.
Yeah,
I was going to daily mass at one point almost every day. It wasn't didn't start that way, but then after a while, it was every day. It was regular confession, devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, and adoration, and so things like that took on some spiritual direction. And then eventually, I did move in with the priest. Actually, I lived with Father Michael Skuzacek in St. John the Baptist for a little while. And for about 9 months before, and so that was kind of like a trial period. I was still working, and I got to do a little bit of both. And and then our friend Larry, who at the cathedral, who God bless him, rest his soul, he just passed away, unfortunately.
He did,
walked up to me one day after Mass, had just let out, and said, hi, my name's Larry. What's your name? And and I said, I'm Neil. And he said, Neil, I think you should be a priest.
Really?
And he just said it.
Oh.
And of course, I had already been praying the breviary and things. And so I think I was giving away clues. but sometimes it just takes a person to say it too.
Yeah.
And then I was, he said, would you want to pray together ever? And I said, sure. And we actually, him and I and another guy at the cathedral, Dave, started praying together. Mm-hmm. And we spent a few months praying together down in the basement of the cathedral after daily mass on a weekly basis, and entered into kind of a small group discussion. We'd do kind of a hacker's version of Lectio Divina. We weren't very good at it, but it wasn't structured. But
very good.
You know, we did it the way we did it, and it worked.
Wow!
So.
Wow! And now we have, I mean, again, the Lord speaking through his people to draw people into a deeper devotion to him. What a wonderful thing. Yeah. Well, Father Neil, I wish you all the best in terms of your priestly ministry and your ongoing commitment to, Our Lady of Grace in Edina, the service in the Archdiocese, and of course, most importantly, service to our Lord. One final thing I would ask of you is if you can offer a blessing for all of our listeners.
Amen. Well, let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I'd ask you to send your blessing down upon all those who are listening now, all those who are open to your faith, to believing in you, that they would have an outpouring of your Spirit, and that they would be drawn in closer to you, and that they would open their hearts and their minds to what it is you want to say to them today. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Father Neil, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we are out of time again, I'm sorry to say, but we've got some community events coming up to help us all deepen our faith this last week of Lent. Stick with us. Rediscover.
Are you looking for a way to enrich your Lenten journey and can't make it to your parish for the Stations of the Cross in person? PrayTheStations.com is available 24/7 during Lent. You can now pray the Stations with the priest, anywhere, anytime, by yourself or with family and friends. PrayTheStations.com is beautifully presented and available now. PrayTheStations.com. PrayTheStations.com.
The Catholic Match Institute is helping Catholics meet for the purpose of marriage. But that's just one small step in the process. Developing relationships while dating, engagement, and marriage is equally as important. At CatholicMatch.com, the goal is to provide regular content that helps couples practically grow and strengthen their relationship no matter the stage. Have you visited CatholicMatch.com/institute?
CatholicMatch.com/institute.
Sadek, you are also a candidate to the Catholic Church, or a candidate. Now I'm doing it.
What are you talking about?
Save me, Paul. I have no idea.
I'm a convert.
A convert to the convert Catholic faith.
Convert of almost 39 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. What do we got going on, Paul?
Lots of things. Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join the mission by sending the text message, proclaiming, to 84576, or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
If you don't want to be a Lexio Divina hack, you can come to a Lexio Divina workshop. Lexio Divina will open your heart to receive the truths that Jesus wants to show you. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a Lexio Divina workshop with Father Peter Williams at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. The workshop runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, April 9th. That's this Sunday. A light dinner will be served and a free will offering accepted. Register online by visiting the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
The Catholic Lay Movement Communion and Liberation, CNL, invites you to the Way of the Cross, Twin Cities, downtown St. Paul, Good Friday, April 14th. Gather and introduction begins at 4:45 p.m. at the Minnesota State Capitol. The walk begins at 5 p.m. and ends at the Cathedral of St. Paul at 7. For more information, visit wayofthecrosstwincities.org or email info@wayofthecrosstwincities.org.
Pro-Life Across America invites you to their 20th annual banquet on Wednesday, April 19th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. Bring your family and friends to celebrate a culture of life with featured speaker Archbishop Hebda. The RSVP is requested by April 10th, and the event begins at 5:45 with dinner at 6:30 p.m. Cost is $60 per person. Please call Christine at 612-782-9434. Let me try that again. 612-782-9434 to make a reservation.
The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to Catch the Culture of Alpha in an interactive training event Saturday, April 22nd, 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. If you're new to Alpha and want to learn how to get it started in your parish, campus, ministry, home, neighborhood, restaurant, dorm, plan to attend this training event. Better yet, bring along a few others to experience it as a team. All materials, resources, food, snacks provided. Register by April 17th. For more information and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne invites all grandparents to an event of enrichment, prayer, and fellowship on Tuesday, April 25th at 8:45 a.m. This event will be highlighted with the presentation titled Grandparents' Influence is Needed Now More Than Ever by Marianne Kaharsky, founder and president of Pro-Life Across America. The event takes place at Steiner Hall at Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul. The hall is wheelchair accessible and refreshments will be served. For more information, contact Lily at 651-414-9367.
And we will be here next week.
We will be. It'll be Good Friday.
That's right.
Yeah, join us on Good Friday to hear about how you can share your faith with others. We're going to hear from Danielle and Vincent, former parishioners of St. Peter's in Mendota Heights, and are now serving as foreign missionaries with Family Missions Company. We'll also hear from the National Director of Alpha in a Catholic Context, Deacon Steve Mitchell. All that's coming up, and what a great time to have it on Good Friday as we see and celebrate our Lord's death and we think about and talk about how to share that faith with others, knowing the love of God that He has for each and every one of us. Until then, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.